Matthew 7:24-27, Jesus concludes his sermon by saying, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of God stands forever." Let's pray. Almighty Father in heaven, you gave us this word for a purpose. You didn't say it, you didn't have your son say it because you liked the sound of your own voice. This was said to us and for us. Help us to listen. Free us from distraction, Father. Deliver us from thinking about lunch and many, many other things that want to come to our minds. And help us to focus on these two builders. And help us to go from here as the wise man who builds his life on hearing and doing the words of Jesus Christ. We pray that in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, Jesus apparently is not of the school of preachers that always ends on a positive note. He ends this sermon, his greatest sermon, with a crash, the sound of a falling house. Great was its fall. And that's it. We're done. The foolish man's life has fallen apart, and the sermon is over. Now, why is Jesus saying that? What's the point? What's the idea? Why this great crash? Those of you who are laughing, you know, the Bible says all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of Jesus when they see his coming. It's as if God says, "I'll give you something to wail about." The thing we should wail about, really, is the destiny of this foolish man. You know, we've looked already at the two ways, the two trees, the two destinies. Those were the last 3 weeks. Today we come to the final bit, the two builders. And Jesus describes these builders in identical terms. They build houses, the rain descends, the floods come, the winds blow and beat on that house. Two apparently identical houses built by two very similar builders with two very different results. What is Jesus trying to say? Why these different illustrations? Well, the point is, if all you do is walk away and say, "I like the Sermon on the Mount, that is a good sermon. I am all in favor of that sermon. I could hear it any time of day or night with pleasure." That's not enough. The man whose house falls with a crash said that much. To listen to Jesus' words, and even to like listening to them, is no proof of anything worthwhile. Jesus says, more than listening, more than hearing me, you have to do what I say. Well, the scary part of this illustration is that it's not contrasting church people, on the one hand, with the pagans outside. This is not a contrast between people who come to church and like to hear Jesus' words on the one side and people who don't go to church and have no idea what Jesus said on the other. These are two different groups of what we would call church people. They're two different groups who both listen to Jesus and both like listening to Jesus. One of them, their house stands. The other one, it falls with a crash. So what's it going to be? Which way are you going to take this sermon? Are you going to be the person who builds a life that falls apart when trial comes? Or are you going to be the person who builds something that endures? Well, to understand the details of this picture, first we'll look at the picture and the three contrasts within that picture. And then we'll look at the main principle, the thing Jesus is trying to get across, which is that to listen to and obey Jesus together form the foundation of the Christian life. And then we'll look at the peril. The scary part is your life can look exactly like the Christian life and not be a Christian life at all. And then finally, we'll look at the promise. Promise is that if your life is the true Christian life, if it really is founded on hearing and doing the words of Jesus, then your life will stand. When trial comes, you won't fall apart. You'll endure. The wise person builds his or her life around listening to and obeying the words of Jesus Christ. Mere listening is not enough. Listening to and obeying, Jesus says. Well, we see three contrasts in this picture of the two builders and the two houses. The first contrast is between wisdom versus folly. Jesus tells us about a wise man he builds on the rock. And then about a foolish man. Well, what's wisdom? Wisdom is practical knowledge, the knowledge of how to live well. We talked about practical knowledge in Sunday school a little bit. It's not just theoretical knowledge where you have a general idea about something. It's knowledge that you can actually apply and do actually apply. We can almost call it a knowing how. I know how to drive a car. You might have seen a lot of movies that involve someone flying an airplane. You might have even read books on flying an airplane. But there's a difference between that theoretical knowledge and actually getting in the cockpit and flying the airplane. Well, a wise man is someone with practical knowledge. The knowledge he needs in order to live a good life. And the fool, on the contrary, is the opposite. The fool is someone who lacks that practical knowledge necessary for a good life, who doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, and who blunders down the wrong path because it seems like a good idea at the time. First contrast, wise versus foolish. Second contrast between these two houses, founded versus unfounded. The wise man builds a founded house. His house stands on the rock. The foolish man builds on the sand. Well, basically, this is the difference between being tied down and just sitting there. We all know what wind feels like. Most of us live in a state that's known for windiness. And things that are not tied down blow away. Things that are sitting on sand blow away. Things that are attached to the rock remain. So we've got this founded versus unfounded. Built on something versus built on nothing. If you're interested in coastline erosion, you can see many, many pictures of houses built on sand, where half the house is up here above the beach and the other half is down there in the ocean. Why? Well, the house was built on the sand and the ocean came in and took away some of the sand. And the house broke in half. Part of it fell in the water and the rest is on its way down. That's the difference between, well, that's an unfounded house. A founded house is built on the rock. It doesn't move. Well, then the third contrast, standing versus falling. The wise man builds a house that endures. when tests come. The fool builds a house that falls apart. Jesus gives us these basic contrasts because we all know what this means. We know the difference between wisdom and folly. We know the difference between being founded and being unfounded. And we know the difference between standing and falling. And if you choose to be the fool and to build a life that's unfounded, your life will fall apart. You see, these two builders and these two houses are analogs, parallels, stand-ins for two lives. A wise life and a foolish life. And if you want to live a wise life, your life has to be founded on hearing Jesus' words and obeying Jesus' words. Hearing is necessary. You have to listen to Jesus' words. That means something like what you're doing right now, sitting in church, listening to Jesus' words. And I think we all know people who are in church somewhat regularly and yet whose lives are unfounded. Who hear Jesus' words and yet their life clearly is not built on obeying Jesus' words, not founded on this rock of Jesus and his teaching, but just kind of built moment by moment, doing whatever seems like a good idea at the time. Well, Jesus says, absolutely, you have to hear these sayings of mine. He's not denigrating hearing. You need to read the Bible and know what Jesus says. You need to come to church and listen to sermons that tell you what Jesus said. But that's not enough. It's as if Jesus is saying, anybody can do that. The fool can do that. The person with an unfounded life can do that. The person whose life will fall apart can do that and does do that. Simply hearing isn't good enough. Well, that's why it's possible to read this book cover to cover, come away unchanged. You heard the words. They went in your eyeballs and into your brain, but didn't apparently come out in your fingertips, didn't come out of your mouth, didn't come out in the way you live your life. Jesus says, hearing is necessary, but not sufficient. Just because you hear Jesus doesn't mean squat, ultimately. It's a good start, but if you stop there, then you might as well have never heard. You might as well have not listened at all. Because what's needed is obeying. Jesus says in this sermon, love your enemies. It means that when someone hurts you, you're not allowed to say, you know, I'm never going to like that person again. I'm never going to give them a nice word. I'm going to turn the cold shoulder. I'm going to walk the other way when I see them in Walmart. I'm not going to come to their parties. No, Jesus says you're not allowed to do that. You must wish the best for that person. You're not allowed to say things like, well, I wouldn't cry if she fell and broke her leg. Jesus says no. Or there's many other things he tells us in this sermon. For example, don't pray hypocritically. Don't stand in front of everyone and say, use big words so that everyone is impressed with how pious you are. Or another thing he says, don't get a divorce unless you have valid biblical grounds. He's very clear about that. And many, many other things. Don't look at someone lustfully. That's a sin. And there are many other commands along these same lines that Jesus gives. And he says, if you hear me say this, and you like what you're hearing, but you don't do it, you're the fool. Your life is founded on sand. Your life will blow away in the wind, will fall apart in the flood. Now, how do you get to the place where you do what Jesus says? Well, you have to trust him. You hear his words. That's step number one. Then you trust that his words are correct. You trust him for the ability to keep his words. And then when you've done that, you can actually start to keep them. This isn't just a threat, it's a promise. Believe me, Jesus says, and I'll help you obey. Listen to me and do what I say, and that will help you obey more and more. So hear the words, trust that they're correct, and then live out that practical knowledge that you've gotten from reading, hearing these words. He's not saying that obedience is a prerequisite for salvation, it's a post-requisite. If you're saved, you'll do what Jesus says. Trust is a prerequisite. You want to be saved, then you have to believe that Jesus is correct. And you have to do your best to live as though he's correct. Well, we come to the peril, the scary part. And that scary part is the way the stories are repeated almost word for word of both houses. A wise man built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What are the differences? Well, the differences are in the characters of the builders. One's wise, one's foolish. One house is founded, one is unfounded. One house stands, the other falls. But aside from that, the houses appear to be spoken of in identical terms. We could say that they're built in the same neighborhood. They look the same on the outside. You can't look at one and then look at the other and say, well, this one's going to stand and this one's going to fall. Jesus' use of the exact same words to describe both houses, to describe both lives, seems to indicate that you can't tell the two houses apart just by looking. The only difference is in the invisible part, the foundation that as soon as the house is built, is backfilled and buried, and you can't see the foundation. That's the only way in which they differ. The wise man's house is founded on hearing and doing. On saying, Jesus said not to look lustfully. It means I'm going to set up my life as much as possible to avoid looking lustfully. And if I do, I'm going to turn around and repent and stop doing it. Jesus says not to lie under oath. And that means that if I do, I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, I'm sorry, that was incorrect. Let me tell you the truth. Or if I lie to somebody else, I'm going to call them and say, you know, I told you a lie the other day, and I'm sorry. Here's the truth. And on. Hearing and doing. But the other house is founded merely on hearing. And this is not a begrudging hearing. This isn't, I have to go to church again. Apparently, it's a hearing with approval. Wow, these words are pretty good. This is a great sermon. I really enjoy listening. Jesus says, that's the posture of the fool. If you enjoy the words, but don't act on them, then these tests are going to come and your life is going to fall apart. The two houses undergo identical tests. And we can say that very clearly about the life of the believer and the life of the non-believer. Same tests come to everyone. People get sick. People get hurt. People lose jobs. Get stolen from. Lose money in other ways. Have a loved one who gets sick. live in a country that falls into war or natural disaster or terrorist attack or on it could go. These tests come. Some commentators identified the rain as the flesh with its constant assaults, the floods as the world and its overwhelming flood of things on offer, and the wind as the devil and his angels who come and tempt us. I don't know if that's what Jesus was thinking or not. But the world, the flesh, and the devil will test everyone who lives in this world. And in the final judgment, then the test of your life will be complete. God will require an account of every word and thought. Why did you say that? Why did you think that? Who among us will be able to give satisfactory accounts of every word we've ever spoken, every thought we've ever thought, and show God exactly why all of those words were justified and why all of those thoughts were exactly the thought we should have been thinking? We can't do that. That's what these tests are, the rain, the winds, the floods. Difficulties that come into your life test what you're made of, what you're founded on, where you're putting your confidence. And Jesus tells us that the two houses respond to testing in very different ways. The hearer-doer survives. The one who hears Jesus say, "Follow me," or the one who hears Jesus say, "Pray like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," and starts to pray like that, that person survives the tests. But the person who hears and says, "Oh, that might be a nice prayer," but never tries it, never prays that way, not just word for word, but using the same thoughts of the prayer, same categories of the prayer, that person perishes. The mere hearer perishes. So Jesus' point is, I have it on the outline, or number one, if your life isn't founded on hearing and doing Jesus' words, you're not a Christian. If your life is not built around the process of hearing Jesus' words, or reading them from this book, being in a place where you hear them spoken to you on a regular basis, and then, on top of that, doing what you hear, endeavoring as best as you can to implement those things you hear into your life, you're not a Christian at all. Now, we can imagine someone, a pet owner, who says, "This dog is my life." Now, if that were true, would this pet owner go away for 2 weeks and leave the dog behind? Would this pet owner think of the dog occasionally, say a nice word to it once a week? No, if you say, "This pet is my life," you're with the dog every day. You're doing things with it. You're buying it outfits. You're taking it to the dog park. You're doing many, many other things that pet owners do for their pets. And similarly, if you say, "The foundation of my life is hearing and doing the words of Jesus Christ," then it should be obvious to anyone who looks at your life on a daily basis that, yes, your life is built on hearing Jesus' words and then doing what you hear. So is it your heart's desire to live the way that Jesus says to live in the Sermon on the Mount? Do you read this? Do you hear this? We've had 48 sermons on it. Do you hear this and say, "That's who I want to be"? Yeah. Wow, if only I could be the person that Jesus commands me to be in here. Is that your heart's desire? Is it your ambition to live out the things you hear? That means that if it is, you can't be fine with the presence of a known sin in your life. Well, in general, it's my ambition to be like this, but there's something I can't give up. some pleasure I've got to have, some grudge I've got to nurture, some bitterness that I won't let go of, some person that I prefer to hate, something that I am going to hold on to that I know God wants me to let go of. Now, if there's anything like that, then you don't want to obey this sermon. You don't want to live this life. You'd rather have that thing, whatever it is, be it convenience, pleasure, power, money, sexual freedom, the gods of our age. If you can peacefully postpone obedience, if you can calmly choose sin and persist in it for days, weeks, months, and years, then you're not a hearer-doer. You might be a hearer. You might be a great hearer. But you're not a hearer-doer. And if you're not a hearer-doer, then your life will fall apart under testing. Hard times will come, and your life will fall with a great crash. Jesus' words, not mine. Jesus' insistence, not mine. Jesus says, listen to me and do what I tell you, and if you don't, I promise your life will fall apart. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but at some point, it will crash. And if you're not a Christian, Jesus doesn't say, well, that's an acceptable lifestyle choice. Okay, you don't want to be a Christian, fine. No, he says the person who's not a Christian is a fool. It's not an intellectual judgment saying that the person has an IQ of 25. It's a moral judgment. The person who is a fool doesn't live rightly, doesn't do what he or she is supposed to do in this world, doesn't practically apply the knowledge needed to live a good life. So don't just be a hearer. Don't say, I like these words, but I also like my sin. Don't be this fool who built an unfounded life and saw it fall with a great crash. According to Jesus, a Christian is someone who not only enjoys listening, but also tries to obey. He says, okay, Jesus, you told me to do this. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be fun. But because you said it and I trust you, I'm going to do it. So help me God, literally. That's the hearer-doer. That's the person who says, Jesus says, don't be angry. Lord, help me not to be angry. I'm going to take practical steps. I'm going to count to 10. Before I say something when my kid sets me off, I'm going to pray for an extra 20 minutes against this sin of anger every night. I'm going to read Christian counselors and their books on anger. I'm going to meet with someone and pray against this sin, and so on. That's taking practical steps to be a hearer-doer. And Jesus ends on the negative, but we can flip it around and say, in this threat, there's concealed a promise. The threat is, fail to build your life on the rock of Jesus and his teaching, and your life will fall apart. But the promise is, if you do build your life on the rock of Jesus and his teaching, if you become the hearer-doer, your life will stand no matter what trials come your way, no matter what sorrows you have to endure in this life. No matter how rough the final judgment is on those around you, you'll pass if you're a hearer-doer. So this entire Sermon on the Mount, according to Jesus, boils down to two things. Number one, listen to Jesus. Number two, obey Jesus. He says at the end of his sermon, basically, if you take away nothing else, take away that you should listen to me, and that you should do what I tell you. That's his sermon. Listen again to Jesus' description of the person who listens to him and obeys him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Does that move you? Do you want to be that blessed person who's blessed with the eightfold blessing of these Beatitudes? If so, then ask for it, seek for it, knock on heaven's gate for it. You will find, you will receive, you will inherit the kingdom. Listen and obey. Build your life on doing what you hear from Jesus. And you will receive a great reward. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we pray that these sayings might sink down into our ears. Help us to listen to Jesus and obey Jesus. Help us to see this truth as the resurrection life that it actually is. We thank you that by your own will you bring us forth through the word of truth. That it's through the word that we gain the new birth, that we gain that resurrection life. We pray that you would give us eternal life in your presence. Make us hearer doers, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.